I'd like to read out of the book of St. Luke this evening, found in chapter 13. Let us begin reading with verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could not in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, from Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he unto, What is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed great, a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, how are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Then the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow and the third day, and I shall be perfect, and it shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. In this reading in which we have this evening, there are many different aspects in which the Lord was teaching. And as we see here, he was teaching in the synagogue, it says, in one of the synagogues on a Sabbath day. And he saw this woman that needed healing, and he healed her. And it says here that the ruler of the synagogue answered in indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Now that was one of the rules, if you will, that they held to. No work on the Sabbath day. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But he points out real quickly to them, as he says in verse 16 or 15, he says, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him to away to water? And so he put them on the spot. And they knew they had to do that. There was no way around, Sabbath day or otherwise. And so, as it says here, and then he said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years he loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that he had done. So, in spite of the indignation that the ruler of the synagogue had, there was still joy and rejoicing by the people when they saw what was done by the hand of Christ. And so we can see then it gives glory to God. It gives glory to Christ for his kindness and his helping people. Whenever he saw the need, he helped them. He didn't look to see what day it was, where he was at. He just fulfilled the need. And that's what I believe he will do even in this day and age. He will help us in our needs, whatever that need might be. But we got to bring it to him in prayer and faith, believing that he will hear and answer our prayers. So he compares them the kingdom of God. Well, he said, what will we compare it as? And so he talks about the mustard seed as it grows, he plants it, grows, and it becomes a tree big enough to lodge even birds. And this is how the kingdom of heaven is actually going to do. It's going to expand. And we see that even today. If you take the churches that are being persecuted in foreign lands, in spite of the fact that they're trying to stamp it out, especially in China, it's growing. The underground church is growing is faster than they can keep up with it. And so this is taking place. When people want to come to the Lord, when God calls them, it's going to grow. And that's how he compares this then. The kingdom of heaven is going to grow. Even like the leaven. Many of us heard what leaven does. You put it in the bread, mix it up, and it expands the bread and makes it soft and fluffy. It expands it. That's what the kingdom of heaven does. And this is the example that he uses in how the kingdom of heaven is going to grow and why. And so then he goes into this teaching. He says that in all the villages, but then he heads for Jerusalem. And then he gets this one, comes to him and says, Lord, are there few that be saved? They had the question in their mind. And so he puts it to them this way. Strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, when you think about the straight gate, what exactly would that straight gate in your mind be? Well, I've thought about that. And, you know, sometimes I remember before I was converted, I used to think, that's a straight and narrow way. There's no way that I could live like that. That's just too straight and narrow. I couldn't do it. And so successfully, I put it off for many years, that simple excuse. But you know what? Yes, it is a straight and it's a narrow way. And there are few that find it. But if you want to find it, you will find it. And when I finally come to the realization that I needed to find that straight and narrow way, and you know, there was things I liked to do. There was worldly things that I did. And I didn't want to give that up until I realized that my soul was not saved. And none of those things that I didn't want to give up was worth my soul's salvation. And so you can see then how he calls this a straight and a narrow way. Forget the things of this world. They're going to get you nowhere. It don't matter your schooling, your job, it don't make no difference. All that's going to add up to nothing one day anyhow. But to stay on the straight and narrow way, the Bible teaches us many, many ways how to do that. Live your life pleasing that would serve the Lord. We can read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's part of it. Standing together, striving for the faith. In other words, the faith that we have learned to come to know in Jesus Christ, stick with that. Continue to believe in it. Follow in its ways. And don't look back on things that you're going to miss out or you lost or you never really had. And part of this then is this straight and narrow way that it talks about. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So in other words, the Apostle Paul was saying to us here, press toward the mark. In other words, hang in there. Don't give up. Stick with that straight and that narrow way. That's what's going to lead us to heaven. That's what's going to please our Heavenly Father, the way we live our lives. And press towards that mark. And this is what he's saying to us. One other scripture. In Colossians 29, whereunto I say, I also labor, striving, working, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So, the Apostle Paul says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So when you come and you hear the word, and it teaches you, it encourages us, it's for our inner man. It's for our spiritual well-being. It's to help us to stay on that straight and narrow way. And this is the reason so oft times, this is what we find when we read in God's word. There's a lot of instruction here for us how we ought to live our lives that would please our Heavenly Father. And so he says, strive to enter in at that straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. So you see, if we don't follow the straight and narrow way, this is what's going to happen. Now, when the master stands up to shut the door, I believe he's referring to Jesus Christ. Right now, we understand and believe that he's at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. But one of these days, he's going to stand up and he's going to shut the door. I believe he means by that that the way of salvation can be cut off. The Gentiles. We can find scripture that would back that. And there's going to be one of these days, and we don't know when, he's going to come back. Whether he stands up and shuts the door, that's when he comes back. It's not exactly really clear here. But we can take it from this, that one of these days, that door of salvation is going to be closed. And we see here even in the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. When they went to get their oil and they come back, the door was shut. No more entering. I believe that that can happen. That door can be shut. You can either lose your life or you can just reject the plan of salvation. And if you reject it long enough, that door can be shut for you. I know men that are well into their 60s, 70s, and 80s already and still have not made any decision to follow the Lord. No, they don't want to hear. You can't even talk to them. They get mad. We talk about the salvation for their soul. Don't want to hear it. I'm talking about people raised in our church but have successfully rejected the way of Jesus Christ and the straight and narrow way for so many years. It's like the door is shut. And they ain't going to never come in. That's so sad. You can't even talk to them. They don't want to hear it. It's sad, but it's real. And if you successfully reject the Lord as long as you can, it can happen to you. And then when the master shuts the door, and you're going to be left out. He was talking to the Jewish people here, as he goes on to say, then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk and thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. You know what that worker of iniquity is? That's those that have lived displeasing in the sight of the Lord. And that iniquity could be nothing more than rejecting the plan of Jesus Christ. That iniquity alone, the Lord's going to say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, I know you not. And the door's going to go shut. My friend outside of Christ, something you need to think about. Because it's going to happen. But you don't know when. So this is why he says here then, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. See, that hit them hard. He's talking to the leaders and the Pharisees, those that were supposed to be religious people. And they didn't even know him. They didn't hear his voice. They wouldn't accept him. But they knew Abraham, it says. You're going to recognize Abraham. You're going to recognize Isaac and Jacob, all the prophets. So you see, if you take that story and you read in the 16th chapter of Luke, where he talks and writes about the rich man and Lazarus, one that was put into the torture, and he wanted Lazarus to dip his finger into the water, cool his tongue. That's the same place that he's talking about here, this weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what that is. That's what it is. Nothing more than plain language is hell. That's it. It's hell. And it's going to burn. And we read in Mark where he talks about the unquenchable fire, where the worm never dies. That's hell. And even your hand offends you, your leg offends you. Cut it off, it says. It'd be better to go lame than it is to get into this fiery torment forever. And it's forever. There's no end to this. You got to understand that. You can't, your mind cannot imagine what forever is. None of us can. When we die, that's it. We're over. Forever. And ever and ever. And as long as you can say ever. And it's even longer than that. And you want to burn? You want to live in that torture? If that don't give you something to think about, your soul salvation, Lord, tell me what does. You need to consider the straight and this narrow way. Because if you don't, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So you see, they're going to be coming. The kingdom of heaven is going to grow. Whether you accept it or not, it's going to happen. It's growing. It's growing right along. The word is being spread throughout the entire world by the radio waves and by the TV and everything else. There's so many ways that the gospel is being spread throughout this entire world. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, preventing our Lord from coming back anytime soon. Nothing. I believe that the word of God is being spread throughout this entire world in every kind of language. They're making Bibles in every kind of language that you can name. And there's still tribes and that down in this in Africa and that where they've never heard, but it's happening. Don't fool yourself. It's coming. We just don't know when. But you need to believe. And you need to consider that straight and that narrow way. You need to consider what the Lord has for you. And it can be a peaceful thing. You know, when you think about being a Christian, if you just rely on the Lord, just you trust Him every day for every little thing that comes along. It's not a hard way. It's not hard. You just learn to do it, that's all. That's why in Romans, Paul writes, renewing of your mind. You have to rethink what your plans are, what you hadn't hoped for in life or whatever. Just rethink it. Renew your mind. And that's how you learn what it means to be a child of God. Learn what it means to become one of His children and to follow in His ways. It's not just a thing to, oh, now you belong to West African Church, you can come every Sunday three times a day, and you come every Wednesday night if you want. It's more than that. It's being honest with your neighbor. It's being friendly. It's being kind to people. It's being subject to one to another. The Bible goes on and on and on about these kinds of things. We do this on a daily basis. And if we're not, we might not even be on that straight and narrow way. We might be on that broad way like it talks here in Matthew. It says, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and a few there be that find it. A few there be that find it. You see, when you think about, let's say our church here, in comparison to the population of Akron, just say, there's just a few of us here. Now, that's not to say we're the only ones. Don't misunderstand me. But there's, when you hear God's word, He's calling us. He's calling you to Him. And you need to answer that. You're being called and chosen. It says, unless you, God calls you, you can't even come. It has to be through the Heavenly Father's call. How does He call you? That's how He calls you, by hearing the Word of God, by reading His Word, and by obeying it. That's how God calls us. And He chooses us. He has chosen those of us that are converted. We've been chosen by God. We didn't just happenstance, or maybe was raised this way or something. No. God has chosen each one of His children individually. He's called us individually. And collectively we make up a church, the body of believers, the body in Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. And we're part of this many, or this few that are chosen. Few that are called. Few that have this opportunity. You know how many kids there are in this country and in this world that may have never even heard the Word of God? Oh, there's probably a lot of them that have. But they're still in the inner cities. Some of them poor kids, a lot of them don't even know who their father is. Some of them don't even know their mother. Streetwise, they know little about the way of salvation, about Jesus Christ, the love of God. Absolutely don't even know. And you have an opportunity given to you, raised in a Christian home, most of you, and you still want to reject the plan of salvation. Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. So then anyways, the Pharisees then came to him and said, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said unto them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So you see, the opposition that Christ had, it was like water off a duck. That didn't bother him. He wasn't the least bit worried about Herod going to come kill him. He knew his time was when it was going to be. He knew when it was all going to happen. And he had responsibility, and that was to spread the gospel message. And that's you and I, brother and sister. We have time, and we need to be spreading the gospel message, because we rub elbows with people that may have never heard or never experienced the love of Jesus Christ. That may only come from you and from me, by the way we treat one another, by the way we treat them. Sometimes just being friendly to someone, giving them a helping hand. I mean, just simple little things like this can express the love of Jesus Christ to someone. We never know when we're going to do it. We never know what's going to happen. But we have a responsibility. And so that's what Christ did here. He took the responsibility. He didn't care about any of the opposition. And then it made him feel bad, because he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou which killest the prophets and the stonest them that sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. You see, they rejected him and want nothing to do with him. Sad to say, his own people, his own nation, if you will. He would love to, and it is the same way today. He would love to gather us together as a hen does her chicks, it says here. And you and I can be a part of that. But we got to listen to the... If you ever seen that in real life, how a hen will cluck, 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 and the little chicks will just come and gather right around her. I've seen them sit down and just kind of put her wings down like this, like she knew there was dangerous. This is the picture that he's painting here that he would like to have done with Jerusalem. And it says they would not. So he says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord." And when that day comes, it could very well be too late. Very well be too late. You haven't made a decision to follow the Lord, and you haven't become one of his children by then. It could be too late. The door could be shut, and you left out to be left alone to face eternity without Jesus Christ. Amen.
In this chapter, we have read that the disciples asked the Lord, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And Jesus did not answer whether few or many directly, but he, as he so wisely has done for the disciples and for us, directs their attention to what is truly important, not the crowds and what they do, but what we are doing with the Lord. And encourages them and us to strive to enter in at the straight gate. He describes those that had a casual acquaintance with the Lord and had eaten and drunk, as it says, in his presence, and had taught in their streets, in their neighborhoods, in their area. We read in the Word that that is not the hope of glory. To have a casual knowledge of the Lord, but that Christ would be in us. That is our hope of glory. And that we would strive for that nearness and that closeness. And it begins with the Lord calling us and us responding. As we have heard many things this night of ways of service, ways of joy and peace for our lives, and that truly describes the kingdom of God, which is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And we have also heard a calling, an invitation. Jesus teaches to the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." And that is a door of our heart, of our church, that we can open. And we've been invited to open to the Lord this night. Amen.